paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our phone number here is 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today or you're maybe feeling a little shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air in future weeks. You can also check us out online at www.hawaiianeye.com or follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, no spaces. And Facebook is Hawaiian Eye Center, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. Okay, we're going to be here for an hour. We're going to talk about eye news. We're going to talk about other things to test your IQ. And we're going to have a lot of fun today. Now, remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. That's Dr. Stephen Ree and Dr. Nancy Lindblad. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. Now, we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, I can't see through the telephone, so I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor our program today as a public service, so sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, we like to start out the program in the morning talking a little bit about some of the things that have come up during the week in the office, and something that we've seen quite a bit of this week, and in fact every week, is people coming in with red eyes. Red eyes. What causes red eyes? Well, there's a lot of things, actually, that cause red eyes. Red eyes can be caused by infections, they can be caused by allergies, they can be caused by irritation, by foreign body, foreign object in the eye, by eyelashes or eyelid problems. And so there's all kinds of things that can cause redness. So let's talk about some of them, some of the more common ones, and what kinds of things you need to be aware of when you should seek the help or the attention of a medical specialist like myself. So let's see. Most commonly, when people come in with a red eye that's new, so their eye's been red just a few days, maybe a week or so, often that is an infection. And the most common causes of infections in the eye are viruses and bacteria. And infection of the eye caused by a virus or bacteria are generally lumped into the category called conjunctivitis. And this is something that most people in familiar terms, know as pink eye. Some people know the term conjunctivitis, but many people know the term pink eye. Some people, in fact, don't remember that it's pink eye, and they call it red eye, and they come in and say, I have red eye, but what they mean is I have pink eye. And pink eye just means that your eye is pink, or your eye is red, and it is most commonly caused by a viral infection. Now, where does that virus come from? That's a very common question that we get. People say, well, you told me I have an infection in my eye. Where did that infection come from? What have I been doing that I shouldn't have been doing that's caused that eye to become red and infected? And the answer is, well, you probably haven't been doing anything you shouldn't be doing necessarily. But what it means is that just like you catch a cold, cold is a virus. You can catch a cold in your eye in that sense, where the viral infection takes hold in your eye, causes redness, causes irritation, and sometimes a little blurred vision, some tearing, some discharge, sometimes a little bit of sticky discharge. And a viral infection is usually benign, usually it's not dangerous, and usually it runs its course and gets better by itself. It takes about 2 to 3 weeks, gets better, goes away, no problems. However, once in a while, these viral infections, these pink eye, conjunctivitis caused by a virus, when they're caused by certain types of viruses, such as the epidemic keratoconjunctivitis virus, that's an adenovirus, it's a cold virus, some of these viruses actually cause damage to the surface of the eye. They cause little cloudy spots to form on the surface of the eye called subepithelial infiltrates, little viral spots on the surface of the eye, then in the normally clear corneal tissue. Now, the cornea is a clear window on the surface of the eye. Most of us don't even know it's there because you look right through it, but it covers the colored part of the eye. The cornea is a clear window. It's kind of like the crystal on a watch, where you can see the hands of the watch, but you know there's something between you and the hands on the watch, but since it's perfectly clear, you're not really aware of it. The cornea is the same type of structure. It domes over the surface of the eye, the iris, and the pupil, and it generally is not really noticed because it's clear. And it is important for that cornea to stay clear in order for good vision to be there. You need to be able to see clearly, you need to see through that clear tissue. When it becomes cloudy, when little cloudy spots form in that tissue, then that's something that can affect the vision. And if the vision is affected over a long term by that, that actually can occur as a result of these viral infections as well. They can cause permanent scarring that can damage the vision. So if you have a red eye and it's persisting beyond a week or so, you should probably check it out. If it's getting pretty bad where you feel like your vision is real blurred, you should get it checked out by an eye specialist. Sometimes people with this type of viral conjunctivitis develop really thick inflammatory tissue on the surface of the conjunctiva, which is sort of the surface of the eye, the inner part of the eyelid. And these little membranes of tissue are quite irritating to the surface of the eye. And when we see people in the office that have these little membranes, we try to remove them so that they can be more comfortable, so that there's no significant, so that it reduces the discomfort. Also, eye drops can be helpful in this situation to reduce inflammation in the eye as a result of that viral infection. So viral infections or viral conjunctivitis usually runs its course, gets better on its own. Many people who have it never even come in to see the doctor. But if there's reduced vision or if there's significant discomfort, it's a good idea to see your eye specialist so that we can evaluate whether there's any additional treatment that it needs to be done at that point. So viral conjunctivitis. Bacterial conjunctivitis is fairly common as well. And it's not as common as the viral form of the pink eye or conjunctivitis. But when people develop a bacterial infection, sometimes we do recommend treatment with antibiotic eye drops because this tends to shorten the course of the infection and also reduces the likelihood that it's going to be passed on or transmitted from one person to another. So a bacterial conjunctivitis is a little bit different than a viral in that it tends to produce a lot more sticky discharge. So people get a lot of mucoid discharge or pus-like discharge coming out of the eyes. And often people with a bacterial conjunctivitis have the symptom where they go ahead and notice that in the morning when they first get up, their eyelids are so, there's so much discharge that they're actually stuck, the eyelids are stuck together, and they can't open the eyelids without going to the bathroom and rinsing it, and then lifting, you know, physically opening their eyelids open because there's so much crusty, sticky stuff holding the eyelids closed. And so this typically is a sign of a bacterial infection, and usually if people are noticing this type of crusty discharge, we do recommend a course of eye drop antibiotics, drops that people can put in their eyes for a week or so in order to get that infection cleared up a little bit faster and also reduce the chance that they'll spread it to other people. So the biggest thing we worry about with people who have an infectious conjunctivitis, pink eye, a red eye due to an infection, is that they can pass it along to other people. So if you have a red eye and it seems like it could be an infection, you'll often see it starts in one eye and then goes to the other eye because it spreads very quickly from one eye to the other. Then you want to wash your hands frequently. Don't share towels, pillowcases, or washcloths. And just be generally careful about things that might touch your face or touch your eyes. And don't let other people touch or use those same things, because then you can spread the infection to someone else. And you don't want to do that. So let's talk also a little bit about allergies. Allergies can cause red eyes or a red itchy eye. We'll talk about that as soon as we get back from this short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Hawaiian eyes, can you see me lost?
You're listening to Dr. Christopher Tortora. This is the Hawaiian Eye Show, and we're going to spend a few minutes now talking to Dr. Stephen Rhee. Dr. Rhee is one of our physicians at the Hawaiian Eye Center. He's a specialist in general and comprehensive ophthalmology with a subspecialty certification in cornea and anterior disease. Hi, Dr. Rhee. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, Dr. Tortora. I'm doing great.
Good. Nice to hear from you. What's up today? What's going on in your world in ophthalmology?
Well, I thought this morning I talked about a cataract surgery case that I thought was a good example of the different options that are available out there for our cataract surgery patients. And I know you've talked about the different types of lenses that are available for our patients depending on the situation. And I thought this was a good example of one of those cases. This particular gentleman, a really nice guy, did have a visually significant cataract. But on top of that, he also has what's called some astigmatism. And I think our listeners out there who wear glasses or possibly contacts are kind of familiar with that term, but may not know exactly what that is. Well, astigmatism is one of the causes of blurry vision. And in most cases, it's caused by some irregularity in the shape of the cornea, which is in the front part of the eye. And for cataract surgery, we take care of the lens. However, we kind of leave the cornea as it is. So people with astigmatism in the cornea, they're left with that even after cataract surgery. So they may still have blurry vision and may require glasses to help them see better. However, there is a different type of lens available called the toric lens, which can correct that astigmatism should you have it. So I recommended that for this particular gentleman, and he was excited about it. He didn't want to wear glasses when he was out playing golf and stuff like that. So I thought that was a good option. So we offered that to him. We did his surgery. He got the toric lens, and the next day he was seeing great, almost 20/20, and he was really, really happy and excited to get out there on the golf course without his glasses for the first time in a long time. So definitely ask your eye doctor about the different options that are available if you're considering cataract surgery.
Yeah, that's great advice. As a matter of fact, those toric lenses work so well that I actually put one in my mother's eye and I did her cataract surgery. So thank you for that report, and I appreciate your help at the office, and I'll see you next week.
Okay, see you. Bye-bye.
Aloha. That was Dr. Stephen Rhee. Dr. Rhee is one of the physicians at the Hawaiian Eye Center, along with me. He's based out of the office in Wahiwa on this island, on Oahu, and also in Hilo on the Big Island, you can see him. He appears, or he shows up, or he makes his way to that office a few times a week, a few times a month. And so Dr. Rhee is all over, and he does excellent work, excellent surgeon, and good advice about people who are having their cataract surgery to ask your doctor about the different options for trying to correct your vision, because many people find that not only do they want to have the cataract corrected, but they may want to have a reduced dependence on eyeglasses, which we can do by reducing the astigmatism or even using a lens that corrects distance and near. All right, let's see. We have some news stories here we're going to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit more about red eyes. We'll do that a little bit later in the program. Let's talk about the news story here about a video game which enables blind people to develop an accurate mental map. It says here, researchers have developed a new quote-unquote video game for blind people that can help them learn about a new space using only radio, only audio cues, as reported in the Open Access Journal Plus One. The system, developed by a team led by Lofty Marabet of Harvard Medical School and J.B. Sanchez of the University of Chile, is called the Audio-Based Environmental Simulator and uses only audio-based clues to allow blind users to learn about the layout of a previously unfamiliar building. After playing the game, participants were better able to navigate a real-world version of the space explored in the virtual reality environment, confirming that the spatial information learned in the game was accurate and transferable. Learning through such interactive games represents an innovative and motivating way to improve crucial skills that allow blind individuals to remain functionally independent. So that's an interesting story about some ways to try to compensate for vision, which is poor. And there are many people out there that have problems with their eyes or difficulty with their vision that we can't really correct or improve because of the limits of technology, the limits of what medical care can do. And these people have a very limited vision to begin with and need to utilize their other senses to be able to compensate for the poor vision. And in this case, what they've done is they've allowed people using other senses, such as hearing, to be able to learn more about a space that they might be going into and then have that information in their brain so that then they can make their way around that space more easily. So that's interesting information about that. Let's see, we were talking a little bit about red eyes and about some of the things that cause red eyes. We talked about infections. We talked about viral and bacterial infections. There are also another common cause of red eyes is allergy. And allergy typically differs from infection in how it shows up and how it shows up in your eye, because allergy typically occurs in both eyes at the same time, because whatever you're allergic to is affecting both eyes at the same time. And if you have an infection, that tends to affect one eye first and then the other eye a short while later. And so you end up with one eye red and irritated first and the other one red and irritated a few days later. Typically, it's 1 to 3 days between the first and the second one. And what's happening is that the virus or the infection is actually spreading from one eye to the other, just as it could spread from your eye to someone else's eye if you have that infection. But in the case of an allergy, whatever you're allergic to, whatever's in the air, typically would get into both eyes equally, and so you'd end up with symptoms affecting both eyes about the same time. It could affect one more than the other because maybe there's something about your activity or whatever you're allergic to that makes one eye more exposed to the allergen than the other, but usually people who have allergies in their eyes have not only red eyes, but they also have itching of their eyes. Itching is a common experience among people who have allergies in their eyes. So allergic conjunctivitis. Conjunctivitis, again, is that term of medical term, which means redness of the eye or inflammation of the surface of the eye and red eye. So allergic conjunctivitis typically occurs in both eyes at once and often causes itching. So itching, redness that lasts more than about 2 or 3 weeks is typical of allergic conjunctivitis. Typically, allergic conjunctivitis comes and goes according to the season. You might have an allergic conjunctivitis that comes on in the fall or in the spring, because that's when there's more pollen in the air and people tend to be sensitive to pollen. Allergic conjunctivitis may or may not accompany other symptoms of allergy, such as coughing and sneezing and runny nose and all of those things that are associated with allergy as well. And so while the viral conjunctivitis may accompany the symptoms of a cold, the allergic conjunctivitis may accompany the symptoms of allergy. So that's something that differentiates the two of them. If you have an allergy, if you have an allergic conjunctivitis, an allergy in the eyes, it can be treated with a number of different types of medications, depending. Some people are sensitive to some and respond well to some. Some people, it requires a trial of several different medications to find one that works well for them. There are about three classes of drugs that are used in the treatment of allergies. The simplest treatment is just to use some moisture drops or artificial tear drops that'll lubricate the eye, maybe wash out whatever it is that you're allergic to, and make the symptoms improve a little bit. There are also several other classes of drugs, including what's called mast cell stabilizers, what are called antihistamines, topical antihistamines, eye drops, and what are also drops which are known as non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. These are all useful in treatment of allergies. Sometimes in severe allergies, a steroid medication can be helpful as well. So there are several modalities, several ways that allergic conjunctivitis can be treated. Now, one of the ways that I usually don't recommend treating it is with systemic allergy medications. In other words, medications that you take in pill form or take by mouth in order to reduce allergic symptoms. There are people who have allergic symptoms like runny nose and itchy, runny eyes and sneezing all together all at the same time. And for those people, often the systemic anti-allergy medications work quite well. But if it's just the eyes, if the eyes are teary and a little bit mucousy and red and itchy, and there's no really runny nose or sneezing or coughing or other allergy symptoms, then typically using eye drops is going to work a little bit better for people. If there are other symptoms associated with a general hay fever type symptoms, then often the systemic or the pill form antihistamines will work well. But the reason those antihistamines in pill form are not really recommended for people with solely eye allergies is that they do cause dryness of the surface of the eye. And sometimes allergy symptoms are made worse by symptoms of dryness of the eye, or the combination of allergy and dryness can make the symptoms more pronounced than either one alone. And so if you make your eyes more dry, it may help, the medication may help with the allergy symptoms, but it may also make the overall sensation, the overall feeling of the eyes worse or no better because of the dryness of the surface of the eye. All right, let's talk about a little news story here. I've got a story here about a study that shows that cataract surgery lowers eye pressure. This is good news for those people with glaucoma. Glaucoma being high pressure in the eye that can damage the nerve, the optic nerve in the eye. It was an analysis of participants from the ocular hypertensive treatment study, which included patients who had cataract surgery in one eye, compared them to a control group that didn't have cataract surgery. So there are about 60 people who had surgery and about 750 people who were the controls, who didn't undergo surgery. Surgery decreased postoperatively by about 4 points, resulting in a 16% decrease from levels before surgery. The effect was sustained for at least 1 year, but then diminished over the next 2 years. Those with a higher preoperative pressure experienced the largest percentage drop in pressure. So basically what that means is that when someone has glaucoma and we go and treat their cataract, we remove their cataract, often the cataract treatment itself helps to control the glaucoma a little bit better. So this is good news for people with glaucoma who haven't yet had their cataracts removed, that when it does come time to remove the cataract, that may help a little bit with the glaucoma as well. So that's good news for glaucoma patients, and also good news for glaucoma and cataract surgeons, because it tells us that when we do cataract surgery, often that'll improve the glaucoma, and so we don't always have to do a combination of a cataract procedure with a glaucoma procedure in a glaucoma patient, because combining the two procedures, combining the two surgeries, often makes it a little bit slower to heal, and it can cause some other issues as well. So we prefer to just do the one surgery, the cataract surgery, when that's indicated. And a cataract surgery is usually recommended when cataract is cataract being a cloudiness of the lens of the eye when it starts to interfere with your vision, make things more difficult to see, your vision a little bit more blurred, and when a cataract does develop, removing that cataract helps improve the vision, but may also help with glaucoma as well, it turns out. All right, well, good news. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we'll take your calls, so think about what you want to ask us about and give us a call.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio, 830 KHVH.
It's 77 degrees and partly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton-Dennis. Here's what's happening. Republican vice presidential nominee Paul Ryan is courting Cuban-American voters in Miami's Little Havana neighborhood. He says if elected, he and Mitt Romney will get Latinos back to work. He says they'll be tougher on the Castro government than President Barack Obama has been. Vice President Joe Biden is in New Hampshire telling an audience of Teamsters that unions are the reason the U.S. has a strong middle class. Biden said the Republican ticket has a completely different value set. He says Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan are doubling down on everything that caused the economic crisis in the first place. Congressional candidate Tulsi Gabbard reportedly received a death threat on Thursday via email. The 30-year-old Democratic nominee for the 2nd Congressional District filed a police report, and police have opened a terroristic threatening case. A man crossing near the intersection of Highway 19 and Pa'awilo Makai Road on the Big Island was struck and killed by a semi-trailer last night. It happened just before 5:45 p.m. Crews arriving at the scene found the victim on the side of the road. Police blocked off the road as they investigated that crash. The annual Aloha Festival's floral parade begins at 9 a.m. at the Eva entrance to Ala Moana Beach Park, and it travels through Waikiki, ending at Queen Kapi'olani Park. About 2,000 participants are expected, including 40 vehicles, 10 bands, and 15 floral floats. They're all expected to participate. The roads will be blocked off as the parade proceeds. Island weather, sunny and breezy, high in the mid-80s tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 72 tomorrow, partly sunny, currently 77.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Okay, it's Dr. Tortora. We're back for the next half of the Hawaiian Eye Show, and this is the time when we traditionally take your calls. So if you have something that you'd like to talk to us about, now's a perfect time to call, and you can reach us here at the Hawaiian Eye Show on Saturday morning, if you're listening on Saturday morning, at 521-8383. That's the number here on Oahu. If you are calling from the neighbor islands, you may want to try our toll-free number. That's 1-888-565-8383. So 521-8383 from Honolulu, from Oahu, and 888-565-8383. 8383. If you want to find us online, the best place to go is hawaiianeye.com. That's our website. And if you click on the radio button, you'll get to listen to any of a number of radio shows from the past year or so, streaming live, or you can subscribe to our podcast. Get the radio shows each week as they become available. You may not always have time to listen on a Saturday morning, but you may still want to share in some of the information that we're providing on the radio. So you can listen to the show as a podcast if you like. Some of my patients have told me, oh, you're so calm. Your voice is relaxing. It puts me to sleep. I said, really? I don't know if I want to be putting you to sleep, but if you find it relaxing and you want to listen to the iShow before you go to bed, then subscribe to the podcast. You can listen to it anytime you like. You can find us on Facebook, Hawaiian Eye Center on Facebook, or follow me on Twitter, Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A. It's a great way to get access to some of the stories that we talk about here on the radio show and some of the other things that we're doing at Hawaiian Eye Center. A couple of news stories here. Let's talk about some of the things that have been going on in the past week in eye news. Here's a study that says myopia, or nearsightedness, may protect against diabetic retinopathy. It says a review sifting through 52 years of published research has strengthened the belief that myopia's structural effect on the ocular anatomy affords protection against diabetic retinopathy. Medical literature is inconsistent and difficult to interpret, but Ryan Mann, BSc from the Center for Eye Research in Australia, University of Melbourne, Australia, and colleagues uncovered enough evidence to conclude that an elongation of the axial length of the eye provides a partial explanation for why myopic patients with diabetes may be up to 60% less likely to develop diabetic eye disease than patients without myopia. Okay, so I think we need to talk a little bit about what is myopia. Myopia, most people refer to as nearsightedness. Nearsightedness means that you need glasses to see things clearly in the distance, although many nearsighted people can see things pretty well up close. Sometimes they need to hold them quite close, depending how nearsighted they are. If you're very nearsighted, you might be able to hold something right up close to your face and see it clearly, but everything in the distance is a big blur without glasses or contact lenses. So myopia occurs in general because the eye itself, the eyeball, is elongated. The eyeball is longer than the average, and that causes light to focus abnormally far forward in front of the retina in the eye. And in order for you to see clearly, the light has to focus clearly on the retina, the seeing tissue inside the back of the eye, kind of like the film in a camera. I shouldn't say film in the camera anymore. I should say the digital processor in the camera or something like that. But anyway, if you think about a camera, there's the lens and then the film or the digital processor, which interprets the light, turns the light into an image. So the retina in the eye does the same thing. It takes light energy that enters and hits it and turns it into an image, which is then telegraphed back to the brain through the nerve pathways. And the brain then interprets this as a visual signal. Then we see our environment. If your eye is not focused properly, you see a blurred image and you can't really tell what's in your environment. If the vision is then properly focused by using lenses in front of the eye, that tends to make the focus better, focuses the light back on the retina again, and that makes it easier for you to see clearly. So if you're nearsighted or myopic, it's usually because the eyeball is longer than it would normally be, than average. And that elongated eyeball seems to also, according to the study that we were just reading from, seems to also provide a protective effect for diabetic eye disease. Now, no one really knows why that would be, but let's see what else we have in the article here. It says axial length, which is the length of the eye, actually seems to be protective for both the risk and development of diabetic eye disease. The review was published online recently. Theories revolving around reduced blood flow and reduced retinal oxygen demand have been proposed to explain why nearsightedness may protect patients with diabetes against diabetic retinopathy. The reduction of blood flow from the stretching of the eye from myopia may reduce blood pressure, thereby reducing the likelihood of retinal blood vessel rupture. The process of stretching the eye also causes the receptor cells themselves to degenerate or change, leading to less oxygen demand in the back of the eye, leading to fewer microvascular ruptures. So these are all things that occur from diabetic eye disease. There are abnormal blood vessels that develop, little ruptures occur in the blood vessels that cause leakage of fluid out of the blood vessels into the retina. There's sometimes bleeding or hemorrhaging into the back of the eye as a result of the diabetic eye disease. And all of these things over time can interfere with the vision depending on what part of the back of the eye they're affecting. You can get significant effect on the vision over time due to diabetic retinopathy, diabetic eye disease. And the difficult thing about diabetic eye disease is that it often has no symptoms until it's in a pretty advanced stage. So that's why it's critical for everyone who has diabetes to, even if you're nearsighted, to be checked on a regular basis in order to make sure that the diabetes is not causing any diabetic retinopathy, any damage to the retina tissue inside the back of the eye. If you have early stages in diabetic retinopathy, sometimes the only treatment required is to watch it, pay attention, check every 6 months, check every year, make sure it's not changing significantly. However, certain types of changes do warrant treatment. Treatment with laser, treatment with injections, other things can help to reduce the impact of certain types of problems related to diabetes inside the back of the eye. So if you have diabetes or someone you know or someone you love has diabetes, do them a favor. Make sure that they get in for their regular annual eye examination with an eye specialist, okay? Not with a regular doctor. This is not the same as your regular checkup that your regular doctor is doing, because your regular doctor is not typically familiar with the techniques for evaluating the back of the eye for diabetic eye disease. So most family doctors, most primary care doctors or diabetic specialists don't really know how to examine the back of the eye to determine whether the diabetic eye disease is going to cause problems down the road or not. And so you need to see an eye specialist. You need to see an ophthalmologist, a medical eye doctor, or an optometrist could do a screening exam. But if it came to treatment, they would require you to go to a medical eye doctor for laser or other treatment. So it's important to see an eye specialist once a year if you have diabetes. Who else should be checking their eyes regularly? Well, anyone over age 60 should be having an eye checkup at least once a year. And that's important because there are a number of things that can affect your eyes as you get older, including cataracts, which we talked a little bit about earlier, and we have very effective ways of treating cataracts and even of trying to improve the vision, giving people better vision once the cataract is out. And glaucoma, which is often also common in people as they get older and also has no signs or symptoms. So without a regular checkup of the eyes, people may not have any idea whatsoever that they have a problem with glaucoma, just as diabetics may not have any idea that the diabetes is causing trouble inside their eyes until it's too late to do anything about it, which is a very unfortunate situation because if we catch it early, there are a lot of treatment options for all of these, both of these conditions, diabetes and glaucoma. So if you are over age 60, if you have diabetes, make sure to get your eyes checked on an annual basis. The phone lines here at the Hawaiian Eye Show are open if you want to talk to us, and it's Saturday morning. You can give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call. Ask us any questions about your eyes or about your family members' eyes or about your loved one's eyes. Is there anything that has come up in an eye appointment, an eye examination that you don't quite understand? Has your doctor been unable to explain something or unwilling to explain something about eyes or eye care? Give us a call, 521-8383. We'll try to answer your questions. In the meantime, we'll go back to our discussion about red eyes. We were talking about some of the things that cause red eyes. We talked about infections, bacterial and viral infections. We talked about allergies, allergic conjunctivitis, and allergies that affect just the eyes, causing itching, tearing, and watering of the eyes, for which eye drops work well, or allergies that affect all of the structure, all of the things around your face, your runny nose, sneezing, coughing, and itchy, teary eyes. And for those, often systemic or a pill reduce the allergy symptoms can be helpful. So we're also going to talk a little bit about other causes of red eyes. Obviously, any kind of irritation or foreign body can cause a red eye because the eye is reacting to that irritation, is reacting to that foreign body in the eye. So if you get something in your eye, it's often going to get red, it's going to get teary. If you have an eyelash that's rubbing your eye, either that lash is growing inward or the lash has fallen into your eye and it's causing a sort of a foreign body to be there in the eye, All of those things can certainly cause a redness and irritation of the eye, and that's usually temporary, usually often associated with some discomfort, foreign body sensation. Other things that cause redness of the eyes, a little hemorrhage under the surface of the eye, what we call a conjunctival hemorrhage. This is a very scary looking thing because it looks bright red, blood red, and people see these things in their eyes and typically don't know they're there until they either look in the mirror or a family member sees them first thing that day after they've developed this little hemorrhage maybe while sleeping at night, and they say, oh my gosh, look at your eye, it's all red. And they start to panic because the eye looks so red. If your vision is good and if you're not having any pain, even if the eye is looking red, typically it's not a dangerous issue, but any pain or discomfort of the eyes or any associated blurred vision should prompt a quick visit to the eye specialist to make sure that everything is okay. A conjunctival hemorrhage, a big red blood spot on the surface, the white surface of the eye, looking red and bloody, is usually because of either really rubbing the eye really hard, or maybe being on a blood thinner and rubbing the eye, or coughing, or sneezing, or straining. All of these things can put pressure on the little blood vessels around the white of the eye and can cause the eye to become red, or the little hemorrhage to occur. So that definitely looks bad, but turns out not to be a serious problem in most cases. Worth getting checked out, though, if you are having a problem. We're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we're going to get to your calls, so give us a call, and we'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I on?
All right, here we are in the last segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. If you do have something you'd like to ask us about, now's a perfect time to call. 521-8383 is the number to call. We've been talking about some of the things that cause red eyes, and we're just talking about getting something in your eye, causing some irritation. Other things cause irritation as well. Dryness at the surface of the eye can certainly cause your eyes to become irritated. We rely for comfort of our eyes and good vision on a thin layer of moisture, what's called a tear film, that coats the surface of the eye, and that tear film needs to be intact, and it needs to have a certain consistency in order to provide the best protection and covering the surface of the eye. And so if that tear film becomes irregular, or there are little dry spots forming on the surface of the eye as a result of irregularities in the tear film, this can certainly lead to some irritation, and that irritation can cause a soreness of the eye, but it can also cause redness. Some tearing also. Actually, dry eyes is one of the most common cause of wet eyes. And people who have a lot of tearing, there's usually one of a couple of causes, but one of the most frequent reasons that people have tearing in their eyes is because the surface of the eye is too dry, and you're getting what we call reflex tears to try to compensate for that dryness of the eyes. The moisture on the surface of the eye is evaporating too quickly oftentimes. We call that evaporative dry eye. Evaporative dry eye means that the moisture layer on the surface of the eye doesn't have enough oil in it to stabilize that layer on the surface of the eye, and without that oil stabilization portion of the teardrop, you end up with dry spots forming on the eye, and those dry spots cause irritation. That irritation sends a signal back to the brain, which then sends a message to your tear gland, to create a whole flow of extra tears, and so you get tearing as a result of dryness of the eye. But redness is also common as an experience that people get as a result of the dryness of the surface of the eye. The eye can also become red as a result of dryness. Some people walk around with red eyes all the time, and they come in and they say, you know, why are my eyes so red? Is there anything you can do about it? And sometimes they say this, and they say, you know, my eyes have been so red that I use Visine, or I use Nafcon, or one of these other redness-reducing drops, that they use them 4, 5, 6 times a day. And a lot of times, the reason their eyes are so red is because they've been using these drops so much. They get what we call a rebound hyperemia. Hyperemia just means redness in medicalese. So they get a rebound redness of their eyes because of the use of too much vasoconstrictor eye drops. Vasoconstrictor eye drops like Visine allergy drops, or Visine red eye reducing drops, or some of the Nafcon or Opcon, some of these con A's constrict the blood vessels in the eye and cause a temporary whitening of the eye. And so this is very nice. After you put the drops in, your eyes look more white. You look in the mirror, you say, oh, I feel much more comfortable. People won't look at me and say, are you stoned? Your eyes are red. And they go out of the house, and half an hour later they look in the mirror and they say, oh my gosh, my eyes are red again. And then they put more of this drop in, and as a matter of fact, over time, that using this drop repeatedly actually leads to worsening of the redness because of the way it works and the way the physiology of the eye works. The blood vessels are tired of being constricted or narrowed, which is what reduces the redness, and they become dilated or enlarged again more quickly, and this leads to they become larger, and this leads to even more redness of the eye. So it becomes sort of a self-perpetuating problem. So avoid using consistent use of anti-redness drops, and if you're using them regularly, that's probably going to cause the redness to get worse over time, so sometimes we have to try to wean people off of these anti-redness drops. Other things that frequently can cause redness of the eyes would be wiping your eyes, rubbing your eyes a lot. Tissues are actually one of the worst things that you can wipe your eyes with. And a lot of people will take a tissue and they'll wipe and dry and wipe and dry, and you know, they'll feel their eyes a little bit wet and they'll dry their eyes, and the tissue is fairly absorbent. So what it does is it actually dries up all the tears on your eyes. And you wipe your eye with a tissue, you hold it there, and you soak up all those extra tears, and then your brain again gets a signal that says, eyes too dry, because you basically soaked up all of the teardrops, and so it creates additional tearing. Or it may make the eye irritated because the tear film is not intact, or the eye may become more red. So all of these things can contribute to redness of the eye. So a lot of things that cause red eyes, the majority of them are not dangerous, but there are several that do require attention. There are other things as well that we didn't touch on, like inflammation and other types of issues that affect the eyes, surgical things that can affect the eyes after surgery and make the eyes look more red. But all of these things are less common. We went through the most common ones during the course of the program. So if you want to know some of the causes of red eyes, you can go online when we post this program early next week and listen to it again and pull out all the different things that might be causing your red eye when it flares up and causes you a problem, and then decide whether or not you need to go see your eye specialist to take care of it. I want to spend a few minutes talking about glaucoma. Glaucoma is a condition where pressure in the eye can cause damage to the nerve in the eye. And the most important thing to remember about glaucoma is that generally most people who have glaucoma, at least in its most common form, don't have any idea that they have it unless it's been discovered by an eye specialist, by an eye examination. And the reason is that glaucoma in its most common manifestation has no signs or symptoms. That means that you don't know that you have a problem unless it is discovered through the course of an examination. And so if you do have glaucoma, it does need to be treated, because glaucoma is a potentially blinding disease that can, over the course of time, cause people to lose their vision entirely if it's not treated. And with treatment, glaucoma is commonly able to be controlled and help to prevent problems down the road with difficulty with the eyes and with the vision. So if you have a family history of glaucoma, if a brother or sister or a parent has had glaucoma, then you ought to be checked on a regular basis, at least every year or two if you're under age 60, and every year if you're over age 60. If you have a history from your eye specialist of having been told of having a high pressure or a change in the back of the eye in the optic nerve or anything that might increase your risk for glaucoma, again, check more frequently. So family history and something in your past eye examinations that's shown a risk for glaucoma, those are reasons to get checked regularly. The other reasons to get checked regularly is age over 60. As glaucoma becomes much more common the older you get. Something like 3% of the population over age 60 has it, and something like 5% over age 70, and all the way up to 10 or 12%, I believe, in women over age 80. So glaucoma is a problem that becomes more common as you get older. And so if you have a room full of 80-year-olds, 1 in 10 is likely to have glaucoma. And of those 1 in 10 who has it, about half of them probably don't even know they have it. And so that's why it's important to be checked on a regular basis. So glaucoma is one of those problems that sneaks up on you and can cause trouble with your vision, trouble with your eyes over time, and you don't realize it until it's too late. So get your eyes checked. It's a good bit of insurance. If you have glaucoma, what do we do about it? Generally, it can be treated effectively either with eye drops, medications that you'd use on a regular and consistent basis to hold the pressure in the eye down, or it can sometimes be treated with laser. We use a painless laser treatment to lower the pressure, and oftentimes this will help control the condition, and it often is good for people who don't want to be using eye drops on a regular basis. They have the one-time laser treatment. It's painless. It's quick. It's rare that it causes any problems or side effects. And it helps to control the pressure in about 80 to 90% of people who have this type of laser treatment, who have high pressure, who have glaucoma. And so if we can control the pressure, if we can get it lower, or if we can reduce the up and down spikes, the elevations and reductions in the pressure, level those out, then there's a good chance that we can control the problem and help to prevent damage to the vision over time. Still needs to be checked, still needs to be monitored, even if you've had laser, if you had surgery, if you're using eye drops for glaucoma, still needs regular care and follow-up. You still need the regular attention of an eye specialist. We've been here now for an hour talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Stephen for helping out here in the studio, and I'd like to say thanks to all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us, and if you learned something new, listen again next week. If you have a question, you can always email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air. You can also check us out online, HawaiianEye.com. Follow us on Facebook, Hawaiian Eye Center, or go to Twitter and follow me, Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A. It's been a pleasure talking with you. I'll keep my eyes peeled for you, and I hope you'll keep an eye out for me. Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. This is Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks so much for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Glenn Beck.
Sending you a message.
Weekdays at 4.
It's all going to be good.
KHVH Honolulu.
I'm here.
Hawaii's home for Fox News.